The faculty and student body of the City College have been mobilized for a comprehensive program of civilian defense work. The president of the college, Dr. Harry N. Wright, has set up a Civilian Defense Council, which is cooperating with the Office of Civilian Defense, the United States Commissioner of Education, and other governmental authorities. The City College Group is selling defense bonds and stamps. It's organizing civilian defense courses, and it is engaged in research and in public educational work. The educational program consists in part of authoritative and popular talks, which will be given over this station every Thursday at 4:45 and every Saturday at 10:45 a.m. The president of the college, Dr. Harry Enright, is here today to open the radio program with a discussion of the meaning of total war. Dr. Wright.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are engaged in a total war. The industrial and power age and accompanying advance in communication have made war not simply a matter of struggle between enemies in the field, but between factories, mines, laboratories, technicians, food production, transportation, medicine, and in fact, the complete material resources of the people involved. We are all rapidly growing accustomed to think of the present world struggle in terms of raw materials and manufactured tools of war, in terms of production of farm and factory, and in fact, in terms of our whole compact industrial economic system. It is a total war. Such a war necessarily involves technicians and scientists, which means our colleges and universities. Today, as never before, the college is a major factor in the titanic struggle involving total material resources. The engineer and the physicist are called upon to work feverishly to watch and excel the mechanical devices of the enemy, and at the same time to educate and train more engineers and physicists. The same applies, of course, to other scientists in varying measure, and to economists, statisticians, psychologists, and so forth. Even the resources of the linguists and historians are required. Thus, the municipal colleges of the city of New York are, with other units of the kind, contributing directly to the national resources in the present conflict. This is especially true of the City College, with its School of Technology and other professional schools. The series of radio talks, of which this is the first, is designed to inform the public of the extensive and intimate relation between both the regular and special activities of the City College in the interests of national defense and the struggle in which we as a people are engaged, and also to give information which will be of general interest and service to the public. In the first part of this introductory speech, I shall tell you of some of the material things which the City College is contributing to help win the war. In the latter part, I shall dwell a little on the American way of life. Together with all clear-thinking Americans, we at the City College realize that to lose the war is to lose democracy, and that in order to win the war, we must use the vast resources of our country and the technical skills which we possess to our very utmost. The City College is devoting itself to the very best of its ability to help in providing the highly specialized skills which are essential to the successful prosecution of the war. It is not possible in the course of a brief radio talk to present the details of the contribution which the college is making in this direction. I have time to mention only the most important. The City College has continued its regular work in training students in various fields, in general as well as professional. But it has, in addition, met its obligation of providing highly specialized training specially required in the emergency and of providing research workers, administrators, and experts for defense activities. About 50 members of our staff have been given leaves for active duty or are now engaged in research connected with defense. They provide a wide range of needed abilities. They occupy such positions as advisors to the Office of Civilian Defense, consultants to the Chemical Warfare Service of the United States Army, regional advisors to the United States Department of Education. They are to be found in the Office of the Coordinator of Inter-American Affairs and in the Office of Military Intelligence. They are devoting themselves to whatever tasks the authorities deem important, a study of United States possessions, national policies of war and peace, work problems, national morale, military geology, or the effect of drugs on high-altitude flying. some indication of how much the college is doing in the way of contributing research workers may be derived perhaps from the fact that about one-fourth of the members of our Department of Physics have been called to work on special research projects determined by our national needs. Nor has the sending of these men into this service meant that the college has neglected its obligation to provide highly specialized training for regular students and for other qualified persons. Quite the contrary is the case. Dean Albert B. Newman of our School of Technology is the regional advisor to the United States Office of Education in the conduct of its National Defense Program. He has helped to organize defense training courses in engineering, science, and management given by 9 colleges in New York City and Long Island. In the past year and a half, they have trained more than 12,000 persons for work in vital war industries. And during the spring term, beginning next month, they will offer 86 tuition-free courses. City College alone will have 21, the largest number being given by any one of the 9. And it has trained 1,800 men in these courses. The School of Technology also offers courses in civil aeronautics and has turned out a total of 242 licensed pilots. In addition, the Navy has selected a number of juniors and seniors who will receive commissions as ensigns as soon as they graduate. Last June, 6 boys obtained their diplomas and commissioned at the same time. Nor is this the whole story. Our School of Business, for example, is conducting a course in retail marketing and distribution with reference particularly to defense needs. We also have in operation a comprehensive and very efficient program of civilian defense. But this is to be discussed at the next hour of this radio series. I have said enough to give meaning to the statement that the City College and other colleges and universities are finding themselves engaged in a very real sense in this total war. Thus far, I have referred to the war as being total in the sense of involving all of our material resources and the necessary accompanying intellectual abilities. But it is total in another and deeper sense. It involves not only our material and intellectual resources, but our ideals, our scale of life's values, and our very philosophy of life. The challenge is to more than our form of government. We often hear it said that it is our American way of life, by which we mean freedom to think, to speak, to worship, to choose for ourselves in the making of life's decisions. All this and the attitude of respect for the individual, which it implies, are at complete enmity with any of the so-called totalitarian ways of life. Our free societies have been nourished in this love of freedom and in their insistence that the state is made for man and not man for the state by the vision and the power flowing from the Hebrew Christian tradition. The faith in and the love of God and man rooting in this tradition will not rest until man is free. The enemies of democracy know this, and to say that they hate it is putting the case mildly. In this war, these two basically irreconcilable views of life are pitted against each other. The war is total in that it reaches into the depths of life. We saw that the college as an institution occupies an important place in the material aspects of the conflict, and it requires but brief reflection to see it also as a very important factor in the deeper struggle between the two philosophies of life so bitterly opposed to each other. To help preserve our democratic way, we must become more fully aware of the importance of making education of use in bringing decisions and purpose into life. We value democracy and freedom in human affairs, but possibly we have forgotten, in our enjoyment of them, in good measure, that they are delicate plants and have many enemies. Faith and purpose are required to nourish and protect them. Laissez-faire has been the watchword of our economic life, and I fear also of our culture. American life, and consequently our education, has seemed to lack focus. A detailed analysis of how our culture and education can be given desirable focus cannot be presented in a brief talk. But I should like to indicate in a general way what the absorbing goal of our culture should be and how education can contribute to it. To begin with, some negative considerations. We must cease assuming a democracy is self-perpetuating. We must cease regarding it as merely a kind of political machinery. We must cease responding to it merely intellectually. On the positive side, our colleges must get our students to know what democracy means, but they must go beyond that. They must supplement an understanding of what democracy means with training which will result in a feeling of moral obligation to help perpetuate and strengthen democracy. They must stress the fact that democracy is a personal way of individual life, which affects all human associations of our students, not only their political actions, but their actions as members of families, schools, religious, and industrial organizations. They must develop in their students the kind of behavior required for a democracy. They must train them to be tolerant, sympathetic, intelligent, industrious, courageous. The schools, in short, must work for an intellectual understanding of and an emotional orientation toward democracy, and for a development of the kind of character which will result in students living their daily lives in a democratic manner. For the present, I leave this subject with this outline, for we are here discussing the fact that this is a total war in which we are engaged, one that is total in that it includes a deep and bitter struggle between cultures. I have but wanted to indicate that the fight for democracy must not cease with the coming of military peace, that it is a fight which must go on constantly in each of our lives, and that the college and all our schools have a most important obligation in ensuring the preservation and the strengthening of our way of life. The dual role of the colleges in wartime of contributing to the materials needed to win the war and of contributing to the preservation of our spiritual values was stressed in a recent letter of greeting to the Association of American Colleges by President Roosevelt. The letter reads in part, "We have one great task before us, that is, to win the war. At the same time, it is perfectly clear that it would be futile to win the war unless during its winning we lay the foundation for the kind of peace and readjustment that will guarantee the preservation of those aspects of American life for which the war is fought. At the City College, we are making all possible contribution to the winning of the war, and we are confident of the result. At the same time, we are thinking and planning to meet our responsibilities after the peace has been declared. It is certain that we will be in a new, although a very needy world. Education will be called upon for some revolutionary adjustments, in which our responsibility will be also our opportunity. The horizons in all classrooms will be worldwide. In this situation, our basic task will be to fix upon a goal and a guiding philosophy worthy of our devotion and capable of inspiring and motivating ourselves and our youth. We must understand democracy better and be more intelligent in its application and in its defense."
Thank you, Dr. Wright. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Harry N. Wright, president of City College, has just concluded the opening talk in a series of radio broadcasts to be given every Thursday and every Saturday by members of the faculty of City College. Tune in on Saturday at 10:45 a.m. for a description of the civilian defense work which is being done by the faculty and students of City College. And may we suggest that you stay tuned to your city station for the program to follow immediately, program by the WNYC Concert Orchestra with Eugene Plotnikoff conducting. This is the Municipal Broadcasting System.